harming.
Okay, let's get started and establish a quorum.
Russ Smith.
Jim Fleming.
Douglas Ward.
Tom Weller.
Linda Johnston.
Wayne Barth.
All right, Jim, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everyone had a chance to read through the minutes?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve through the minutes.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're first street landscape and lighting design, first draft.
Oh, I can talk about that.
Yeah. Perfect.
Maybe I'll set this up here for discussion for the moment, but I'm Eric Huffman, and I'm working with a landscape architect and another electrician on putting together concept plans at this point for what the city might do once the road construction is complete here at First and Reed in 97. These are the landscaping plans. They also show some locations for street lights, which are these darker symbols, and we are moving ahead with this final design now. This is actually, we had a first draft, and Rick made some comments. We've made a few edits to it. And then we actually met with Tom about talking about the street lights and getting power to this. The idea would be to have electrical receptacles at each of the trees so that holiday lights or something similar could be plugged in right there at the tree. And we're gonna bring power, it looks like, from the lift station there, coming off that panel. We'll bring power into this entire site from there, and that will serve the street lights and the receptacles, and that'll be on its own city-owned circuit rather than having Mid-State maintain the lights. But the light that we would use would be the exact same light as what's out here in front of City Hall now. So I can leave this up here if you like. If you have any questions, let me know. The landscape architect is working with, I can't think of the name of it, but there's a nursery just south of here that she's working with on selecting species that are appropriate for the climate.
Elements Gardens?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And I believe these are primarily a species of maple that she's got shown on here now. Then
nothing going down 97 on the east side then?
Not on the east side now, no. That would be just on the west side, and then just crossing into this area right there. There are a few trees shown up in this area, so we're going to make sure the landscaping, the irrigation water can cross Reed Road to the north to potentially provide water to those trees in that area as well.
Would you stub the conduit across 97 on both sides just so that you can get power there eventually?
Yes, ODOT is, I've been working with ODOT to make sure that they've provided enough conduit crossings in their plans so that that'll be complete and ready for us to just pull wire when it comes time to do that. For both power and for irrigation water. So this is the latest on that project anyway.
Is there enough room between the fence and the sidewalk there for, on the Highway ODOT's property for landscaping?
Between the fence and the sidewalk, they're going to be right, the sidewalk will be right up next to the fence on the south side of First Street.
But those will all be drainage swells right there that...
The drainage swells will be between the curb and the sidewalk to be, so there's this area through here that's shown in like a green color is, there is drainage swell in there, and this, the trees will be on the edge of the swell, kind of like they are here at City Hall.
I think ODOT has already moved the fence back.
Yeah, they've already moved the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sidewalk in there too?
Yeah, there's sidewalk all along.
You just can't see it, it's underneath there.
Yeah, it's right along.
It's under the trees.
Yeah, that's right.
You can barely see the lines.
Yeah. I can set this up here if you'd like a closer look at it, so.
One thing just to be cautious of with that tree right there where the little fenced out areas into ODOT's property. Midstate needs to be able to operate the transformer there.
Sure, yeah. So you need clearance and...
They need clearance there, but...
What we've done is set these trees, at least on First Street, as a, in a 50-foot spacing between all the trees. And then on 97, they're an 80-foot spacing between the trees. And we can shift those trees around any way that is going to be necessary to avoid any conflicts. But for determining the number of trees, the number of receptacles, and the amount of power that needs to be brought in, we spaced them evenly for now. Any other questions?
Looks great.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. I'm going to receptacle by the trees, great improvement over. You see these trees out here were decorated, and it was a harder job trying to find a place to plug them into than actually putting the lights on.
That's a good idea.
You didn't pull extra wire through the irrigation conduit, the control circuit for an outlet?
There wasn't. Fortunately, of course, you probably don't want to look at the fact that they're plugged into the light poles, have a nice little plug-in on top of them, but...
Never mind.
when we designed it, that's originally, you know...
They're LED lights, though, so they're not burning a whole bunch of power.
That's right.
And they look good.
So, has anyone noticed the difference between the LEDs and the high-pressure sodiums?
I think the notice is just how nice it looks having lights.
The LEDs are just as bright as the regular look.
But they're brighter.
Brighter.
Yeah.
They do look that way.
That's a lot whiter anyway. While we're on the lighting topic, though, do we know anything about the lights along our sidewalk on Huntington?
Nope.
No.
They're on order. So if you're going to be, one thing, Eric, if the city's going to buy those lights and install them, I can get you the contact information on that, so.
Okay, fantastic, and thanks, and I got the specification for the light itself, so thanks for sending that over.
Yeah, as long as it's taken for the light bulb to get, you might order now, you might get it by the next winter.
Yeah, and the problem is, you know, Midstate can't place an order until we've got a commitment for the product.
Right.
And then Hall of Fame's was acquired by another company, and so there's all this shakeup internally.
Right.
So they were trying to figure out who's going to do what.
Well, then the city council is going to have to get, you know, hey, let's order them now, and so we have them when we get ready to do the thing.
If you wait
until you start doing it, you won't get the lights until the following year.
The other thing that we found out is the heads have to be modified once they arrive on site. They didn't change the design on the glass globe.
Oh, really?
To accommodate the LED.
Oh, okay.
So it took extra time out here trying to retrofit the globe designed to fit the LED bulbs.
So is that something that was able to be completed with the equipment
in our shop? But
okay.
Just be aware that things, even though they're through the same manufacturer and the same company, and they're designed to go together. They don't go together.
They don't. Okay.
Well, that's all the more reason to get it done, get that stuff here earlier, get all that work done, and ready to be installed when they start doing work. Recommendation for the city.
Yeah, we'll let you know when we get the number of them finalized, that we're not adding or subtracting anymore, then we can.
Yeah, maybe we can get ready, put that. Your order in.
Yeah.
If we get them early, that's a good thing.
But that will save money, beating it off of the sewer lift station there.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was your idea. Thank you very much.
Yeah, hopefully you got enough room there for that.
Yeah, you lift it over.
I don't know if there's anything else we were supposed to do on any idea, Doug, whether we were supposed to do anything with that or just a presentation.
Just a presentation, as far as I know.
Yeah. And then make a as soon as they finalize which we'll be getting, make a recommendation to the city council to go ahead and order, get them here.
And this will all happen, and it would be after the completion of the ODOT project, so there's no overlap.
Right,
so.
Right.
And that's still about 6 to 12 months out.
Could be, so hopefully we follow right behind it. So.
That means they're going to have two projects going at the same time, the railroad crossing and that one.
Which railroad? That railroad crossing is going to be quite a while yet.
Well, they're supposed to start on it next year.
Yeah, they were supposed to start on it last year and the year before that, too. So.
Well, they got the money now.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in that.
Yeah, but it started 20-odd years ago, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been.
You want to rush into things?
They've been working on that thing for 20 years.
Yeah, that's why started 20 years ago.
Yeah. So.
That First Street project, the bid closes on the 20th. So that's Friday.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
So it's got to be,
Now, that's still slated to start spring of next year, right? Yeah, or there could potentially be some fall work. I'm not sure what they do this winter, but I think they'd let the bid here in a month, probably. Contractor can start. We can start seeing action here in a month or two.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be great.
Yeah, even if they just put up a sign or park a truck there or something,
But there was a lot of lights on a truck.
Yeah, just something neat like that.
Slow traffic down a little bit.
I know there's a lot of interest in the project. There's a lot of people who have picked up plans for it. So.
Good. On to Cagle Road grading them.
Yeah, we finally got Vic Russell out to do his fall maintenance on the Cagle Drafter roads out in that neighborhood. And we have two of you that live out there, so maybe you'd do better to give us a report.
Well, as far as my street goes, and the rest of them, the job is much better than it has been in the past. They actually did a really, really good job, I thought. I don't know about the end down there where you live, but the west end where I am, they did a good job down there.
Fortunately, they left our road alone. Because our road is in good condition.
Yeah.
So they usually don't touch that one.
They didn't
We're
go down
real happy there. With.
They didn't go down your street?
No. They didn't go down any of the roads up toward Viola.
Huh.
But those roads are in pretty good condition. We don't want them down there because every time they go down there, they tear them up.
Yeah. Well, you don't get any through traffic. You just get back and forth traffic. Not like the speeders on Cagle.
Schedule is going to be a problem inside of them.
Probably.
I think at the most, because it's already rough the day after they were done.
Well, we're probably not
really torn up.
Yeah, I drove through schedule this morning, and you can see some of the washboards starting.
And that's already started. I mean, it's been 1 week.
I'm not sure there's much we can do about it this late in the year.
Unless we add something to the road, it's always going to be that way. So, Kegel, I'm sure, will eventually get to that point, too, in another week or two. You know, when you're trying to do this on volcanic precipitate, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're probably not too far off of having to put down more gravel here pretty soon.
And get put on last thing. Get put on minus or the lava rock?
Yeah.
You put the lava rock on, that's worthless.
They put a bunch of Mickey Mouse stuff on it that mixed it up with dirt and put it on the roads and graded it and said, oh, isn't this wonderful? And yeah, I got a big fight in my driveway over it. That was years and years ago. Just to save a couple of bucks.
You put the good gravel on the last of all along.
Yeah, well, they didn't. They bought some gravel from some outfit, Knife River, up in Bend. They couldn't get rid of it. They couldn't sell it to anybody else.
So they gave it to us.
Yeah, but we got a real good deal at twice the price.
Yeah.
I've been feeling bad that Evergreen's been left alone, but I'm finding that's going to sound like a blessing now. Nobody messes with us.
Anything else you would add, Scott?
No, I don't believe so.
Patty, right. Talk to Rick, and he's not going to make it.
Okay. What do we know about sidewalk repair at Mack Court?
Remember when Vic was here at our last meeting and Doug brought that up to him? That's since been repaired over there. They cut out, I think it was 13 feet of sidewalk. That had been broke up a little bit, probably by a road grader during snow plowing. And it's been repaired.
It's been 3 weeks.
What's that?
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just to fix it. They did a good job. They fixed it. Now the ladies at the senior center will get off my back about it. They call me every week. When am I going to get my sidewalk fixed?
Well, that's what we're here for, Doug. But I haven't heard any good or bad out of the property owners there. So
no, they say it's fine.
Okay, terrific.
They're happy with it.
Okay, on to the water and sewer rate study.
I'm not too sure what Rick had in mind for this, for an update on this, other than we've been, we had a 2-hour meeting last week. We've got another one tomorrow morning with the rate study people.
We have that.
It's in here, just on a conference call meeting.
What time?
I don't remember, but sometime in the morning.
Whenever Ashley tells me I'm supposed to be.
Told you she was in charge.
Yeah, she is. She doesn't want to.
We have a meeting here at 9:30. No, wait, tomorrow's Wednesday. Never mind, Thursday.
Yeah.
Cover day with
it. Lots of big changes.
He does.
We've talked
for the
about
rates.
That. Yeah.
They need to be.
Changing the way they're calculated and the rates themselves, probably. It's going to be a two deal, two things. So one thing at a time.
You going to base charge plus usage or?
We've always done that for water, and sewer's always been a flat rate. We'll probably go from EDUs to meter size to charge now.
Yeah, because they were talking about that at the last council meeting, about the different meter sizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come they're different? I mean, they had three different meter sizes here on the water lines. I don't understand.
Well,
why
I don't
do that.
You know, ordinarily a household meter is a 5/8 by 3/4. Maybe Eric can explain what that's all about. It's like a 3/4 inch meter size with a 5/8 hole in it or something.
The meter, the five, mm-hmm. typical 5/8 meter.
Mm-hmm.
So the 5/8 is the constricting point, and my understanding is 5/8 meter has approximately 30 gallons per minute. Flow that can go through it, where a 3/4 meter can have 50 gallons a minute, and then your inch meter can have like 100 gallons per minute go through it. And so the surface area of those meters goes up rapidly as you increase meter size. And then
yeah, you wouldn't think the difference between 5/8 and 3/4. I mean, what's an eighth of an inch amongst friends? But it nearly doubles the the capacity of the meter. And we do have one neighborhood in town that when the developer put that in, they put it in with 3/4 inch water meters. And that's also one of our neighborhoods where we get complaints about their water bills being excessively high, particularly in the summertime. And you know, if you're filling your washing machine, it doesn't hold extra water because you have a larger meter, it can just fill it faster. But your lawn doesn't have edges, so it can just keep filling.
Are they all going to be changed eventually?
Well, that's part of what the rate study looks at, is of having a base of a 5/8 meter and then a 3/4 inch meter being like 1.5 times that base. But it seems kind of rough to penalize the people that didn't get to pick that size meter. So they may lump that into, that's still some of the very preliminary discussions on even where do you start the base at.
Well, to me, it sounds like you have to go out and change, especially for residents, you go out and change 3/4, put 5/8 in it for them, because you're still going to, if you leave it 3/4, you're still going to get screaming and hollering about it.
Right.
So.
And it's almost that easy, but the 3/4 inch meter is about an inch longer than a 5/8 meter. So I don't know if they make restrictor plates for
it. I was going to say, put a restrictor in there.
Turn the valve part off. Something.
Now, when you get around to doing cable, or anywhere where you add new water, what size meter are you planning to put in?
We've always put in, since we've been installing the meters, we've always put in a 5/8 by 3/4 meter. So it's the, unless there's some, what determines whether you need a bigger meter is really like a plumbing code. If you had 5 bathrooms or something in your house, the plumber's going to say, well, that 5/8 meter isn't large enough. Even if there's only 2 of you in there, they still, you need a larger meter. So before, when it, at the district, it was based on the EDUs, and still now that's how we base it. There is no disadvantage to having a larger meter, other than your bill is going to be higher. It didn't cost you extra. We wouldn't do that under this new program.
Now, what one of those meters cost? I'm assuming the landowner has to assume the cost of the meter, right?
Yeah, the meter itself is $255.
Then you have to figure out how much is he paying extra, how long is it going to take to recoup that money?
Yeah.
So you have to have all those ducks in a row, because they're going to start complaining, because otherwise they have to come up with that money.
Yeah.
Well, what's the life expectancy of a water meter? 30 years or?
The meter itself will last for a long, long time. The our meters all have electronic registers, and I think they're guaranteed for 10 years. After 10 years, the batteries can start wearing out, and then we don't get accurate readings anymore.
I bet you don't have to replace the old meter to replace the battery.
No, you can replace the register. We're also, part of our water management conservation plan has a schedule that we need to get into for meter testing. And we'll probably be starting on that next year, testing some of our larger meters that can be done in place, and then starting in on the residential meters.
These all have
to be 10 years old.
These all have valves, so you can still take the little wrench and shut it off, shut your water off to your residents if you want.
They do.
Yeah.
We don't encourage people to get into the meter box and do that themselves, but just to, in front of the, on your side of the meter, there's a backflow device with 2 handy shutoffs on it that you're welcome to play with all you'd like.
There's a pretty big fine for turning off your own water meter. I don't think we've ever enforced it. It's $2,500, but yeah, don't touch your water meter. Play with your backflow all you want.
Right.
Don't touch your water meter.
Well, you take care of backflows and charge us on our bill.
Yeah, we
once a year.
Yes,
but that's your side.
That's your.
The other side is what you do for your sprinkler blowout.
I don't understand.
So you'll have 2 backflow devices.
Oh, okay, one's on the sprinklers.
One's just for the sprinkler system if you have that, and the other is on your domestic line. It belongs to you, but you pay the district or the city a yearly fee to test it,
right.
And we'll also thaw it out for you when it freezes.
But do we need to take precautions so that doesn't happen?
It'd be really neat if you did.
What do I do? Put some insulation down there? What do I do?
Leave a drip of water running in your furthest sink when it gets really cold. Your particular backflow device is about 4.5 feet deep, so it probably isn't going to freeze.
Yeah, I've never had any trouble.
But just since I said that, it'll freeze for sure.
However, the one at West Spring Pines Baptist Church is only about 18 inches, so it freezes every year.
Mm-hmm. Those are the rough ones that don't get used every day, too.
Yeah. So we call you on a Sunday morning.
Sure. No. Call City Hall. Do we all know that, the procedure? Some of you don't know on water. You call City Hall and there's a, I guess it's Patty's voice will prompt you to push 5, I think, for after hours emergency, and that rings right to our, whoever's on call. It could be me that you get.
It's not very likely though.
True.
Shut your phone off on a weekend.
But yeah, that's the, now it's out there. There is, we do have a procedure for after hours.
I was just concerned if we take off for 2 or 3 months or something, we can shut it off so we don't have any blowouts or accidents between the meter and the house and mm-hmm. come back to $10,000 water bill.
I don't know that we've even gotten that far into it yet, but seasonal shutoffs, you know, people that do fly south for the winter, we need to have some provision for that. Right now we do shut off quite a few meters for people in the wintertime.
I'm still on the well, so it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to come shut your water off.
You're not? I have a friend that does that.
Well, you're in them.
Okay. How about, so what's the sewer rate going to be based on?
Okay, sewer rates for residential will be based on, or I shouldn't say will be, one of the scenarios that we're going to present will be basing the sewer rate of a flat fee plus a monthly charge per 1,000 gallons of water that you use based off the winter usage. So if, November, December, January through March, before you turn the irrigation on, taking that average, and then that's the amount of thousands of gallons of sewer that you pay for through the rest of the year.
Wouldn't that be really good for the snowbirds who aren't here during those months?
Well, that's something to have to work out, because the sewer bill would get awful cheap, wouldn't it?
Unless you got a leak somewhere.
Right.
You have a real cheap sewer bill.
That's why you need a valve.
I think that came up in our discussion too.
I think it did.
How would we bridge that?
Well, that's when you switch over to the well during the winter.
And then commercial would be billed based on that, however many gallons of water they use that month. So yeah, there's a few scenarios. One of them is just keeping the current system that we have of EDUs, and then whatever it'd need to raise to meet whatever we need to spend, and then the other system of meter size gallons on the sewer. It'll be pretty interesting.
How many pounds of pressure is that running?
About 55. A little less on this end of town, a little more on the north end of town.
Finally, a benefit to being in the north end of town.
Yeah. You get almost 60 out there.
Really? Peel the paint right off my car.
It will. You all know I hit you.
I'll really wake you up in that shower.
They're not running any water down Evergreen anyway. City doesn't even recognize that street. Okay.
Are we done with the water rate study?
Mm-hmm.
Other issues, concerns?
Well, I was going to ask, I'll ask you, Scott,
okay.
Rick isn't here. The senior center is looking for a grant for landscaping. They want to do something, across the front of the property. But they're a little confused as where their responsibility starts, where the city's ends. So now, based on that new sidewalk that was put in, where does the senior center property start on the east, on the west side of the sidewalk, or on the east side of the sidewalk?
Probably the center line of the road.
I don't know.
On the others, it doesn't.
I don't know where it is there. I don't remember.
Do you know, Tom?
No, I don't, but I looked at what the city did in front of Bi-Mart, and then I kind of looked north of that where the vacant lot is, and I looked across the street and I noticed there's a curb. And so I thought, well, there's a curb across the street where hospice and the bed is. So I'm thinking the city's gonna have to put a curb in on the vacant lot. And when they put the curb in, then I'm thinking, well, when they put the landscape just south of that, I'm thinking they're gonna have the landscape just north of that now.
Now, are you talking about the property across the street?
I'm talking the property just north of Bi-Mart.
The empty lot between Bi-Mart
and south of the senior center. Which I believe belongs to Bi-Mart.
That's Bi-Mart.
But right now there's a sidewalk in there, but no curb. But if you look across the street on the west side, there is curbing. So my thought is, if there's already curbing on the other side, so you're gonna have to put curbing on the east side too.
No curb will give us a nice place for the water to get out of the way too. I'm sure that we're gonna be.
All I know is if I owned that property and I said, oh gosh, you gotta put it there, why aren't you giving it to us? But, you know, that's what I would be looking at. Now, as far as the senior center, that's kind of interesting because the form of the sidewalk changes north of that street, whatever that name of that street is. On the south side, it's a straight sidewalk. And you hit the senior center, all of a sudden it becomes a waving sidewalk.
Right.
And then even farther north, it becomes an asphalt sidewalk. So you've got three different transitions there in a real short period of time. And I'm not really sure what that means to us. So I don't, that's something I'm sure we're going to be looking at and trying to figure out with you guys.
We should be able to find a map that shows an approximate property line.
Well, you think you could find it somewhere?
Yeah, I could probably find it on Dial.
Let me know where it is. And what are you going to do about snow removal on the sidewalk? You know, it's your responsibility to scrape the snow off the sidewalk.
Let me say one thing right now, very clear.
What?
Let me say something very clear.
Okay.
Karen Ward, your beloved, is the office manager. She's on the board of directors as I am. And I only have one vote. Lee Trudell is the chairman of the board. There's 9 of us on the board, 2 more than you have. So you understand how one vote was. That's all I can say right now. I can't speak for those. I can only speak for my own. I don't know. I have no clue what's going to happen right now.
Well, I don't see anybody around there that's actually physically able to scrape that sidewalk. Unless you can talk your snowplow guy into doing it.
Well, who's gonna do the one just north of this?
Well, that belongs to Little Deschutes Lodge. That's their problem. Oh.
Maybe we'll take it from them and see what they do. Who's gonna do the one just to the south of the Dacon lot that's owned by Bimer?
I don't know.
Okay. I rest my case.
What do they do to the sidewalk in front of Bimer?
They scrape it.
Well, then you should be able to do that on the other one too. Sure. It's their property.
Their property, yeah. Now there is a story going around that they're going to develop that.
I've heard that story too.
I don't know for sure or not, but
yeah, I've heard the story.
I don't know. There's nothing come before the planning commission.
I'd love to see it because I'd love to see them go ahead and put parking in there. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we could work a little deal for overflow that way? but were great for us. Go ahead and put parking in front of that. By the way, Juan, getting the chance to say something. Is there an opportunity for the general population, me, myself, not being on the agenda, to actually say something?
Yes. Well, yeah, go ahead.
We're there right now, so.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if, I kind of like to give a little historical background of why I'm here. Doug doesn't have a clue. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't. I'm part of another group that meets on Wednesdays, the third Wednesday of every month at ODOT, which is called, at one time it was called TAG, Traffic Advisory Group. And then that morphed into
South County.
SCTAG, South County Traffic Advisory Group. I've been on that group since about 2008, I believe. I was appointed by our president at that time. Robert Ray was the president of the Chiefs County Citizens Action Group, commonly known as CAG. And he asked me to represent CAG on that group. It's very informal, has no powers whatsoever. And the county folks will come down. Sometimes the ODOT comes down, and some of the people from the different road districts come in. And it's kind of like, I guess you'd call it roundtable, what it would be, when we discuss different road issues from basically from Wawa to County Wawa, actually south of County Line, way out 31. It was kind of suggested by the new guy, I think his name's Rick. Is that his name, the guy, the ODOT manager up there in the line? Anyway, he was suggesting we should come down here and maybe join in with you guys. But I got looking the way you guys. You guys are very formal. So there would really be no way for us to work with you guys unless you guys had an opening and somebody from our group would apply for that position when it opened up. I don't know if you guys would be interested in sending an emissary to meet with us on Wednesday to see what the heck we're all about. But that's what I was kind of sent down. And actually, Karen Ward, I believe, is in the process, as he was elected, requesting that she be the city council's representative to South County Traffic Advisory Group. And I told her we're needing tomorrow, but I think she's got a card game, which is...
But aren't you the greater La Pine area, not
yes,
so much the city?
Yes,
see, we're just the city.
Well, no, see, that was kind of interesting to me when I was talking to Karen and talking to Rick and talking to, you know, whoever, about the makeup of Public Works and what's the other group? I can't think of the other one you belong to.
Planning Commission.
Planning Commission.
Yeah. That it's not made up strictly anymore of just residents. Is that correct?
Well,
that,
we have outings or innings.
Yeah, it's just city issues.
So
yeah, we only deal with city issues.
You have representation from people outside the city.
Yeah, it's a 60-40 split.
Yeah, so the city,
yeah,
the city folks always have the dominant vote.
Of course.
Right, and that's the way it should be, yeah. So anyway, I just came down and I was just kind of interested and I just kind of let you know why I was here, just kind of thinking about it. Well, I probably really wouldn't work for us too well. But
we appreciate all of that you, all of you do, especially with that septic issue. With you guys that saved us.
Well, let me say something while you mentioned that. That's not a dead issue.
I know it.
There's a lot of people thought, and by the way, I was the president of CAG for 14 months, right after Robert Ray. And most of you guys have lived here for a long time. We defeated the county. Well, that's the way we looked at it anyway. When they passed the local rule,
well, you put a stop
went
to
the referendum, did the referendum, and went to the vote and repealed that. Well, at the same time they did the local rule, they did something called what we call anyway the backdoor rule. And they did the same thing basically, but they did it using emergency powers. And when you pass something in emergency legislation, you cannot overturn it by referendum. You have to do it by initiative. And when you try to overturn an initiative, it's basically, you're basically your hands tied behind your back, you're hopping on one foot, and you're blind. You have to get, I think it's like three times the amount of people to sign a petition. They give you the time frame to accomplish it and get it on the ballot. And so it's basically impossible. We looked at it. And what we decided to do was to file a lawsuit against the county. And I was still president and at that point, and we were fighting with the county, fighting with this and this. And finally came down to, I believe it was Ed Chris, who's on the County Planning Commission, kind of brokered a deal between the county commissioners and CAG. And they said, okay, if you guys will drop your lawsuit, we'll make the backdoor rule go away. So we went down to the meeting and three of them signed it off and it went away. And we dropped our lawsuit. And then they go, what did you do? What they were doing before? But the unfortunate part was, because of the publicity that the Ben Bulletin and the TV stations, a lot of the people think, because of the referendum, because of the backdoor going, or the local rule going away, and because the county commissioner signed that off, that everything was well now. It's not. Believe me, we're dealing right now. Probably most of you know that the DEQ formed this thing called the South County, South Deschutes County, North Klamath County Water, whatever it was, like 4 years ago, and they went through this process, and then they came out with, I think it was like 10 recommendations, and one of them was to ask for exemption to the Goal 11, and I can't remember all the other issues. But anyway, believe me, it's not all over, folks.
Well, thanks for all you're doing. We appreciate that. For the greater Pioneer.
We're still fighting. I'm still on that board, so okay. Believe me, it's not dead.
Any other comments or concerns?
Can I ask? I don't know if this is the proper time, but Evergreen Lane, and there are several streets from Evergreen to the intersection there that are all in the same boat because of the lack of property and surveying lines and road widths and all that sort of stuff. The residents on Evergreen. We buy the rock for the road, we buy, you know, the maintenance for blading it off and the snow removal, we take care of Evergreen Lane. The city doesn't spend a dime on it. Same way with, you know, mosquito
abatement.
Yeah. My question is, are we allowed to set our own speed limit on that street? Or is that an ODOT problem? Or the problem being is that there's a few people don't live on that street, but they have friends at the far end.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go busting down there and the dust stays in the air for a long time. And I stopped one after he had made some remarks to my wife that I wasn't real pleased with. And said, well, the speed limit here is 25 miles an hour. I can go just as damn fast as I want. And so we discussed that a little bit and said the city doesn't recognize that this one is there. So, you know, it's considered a private drive with no outlet. Can we go farther and put up a speed limit zone for that street, because that's going to carry on to the other streets, I'm sure. But once, can we put something down that's going to keep the speed down and just make life a little easier and not, you know, be dusting and vacuuming two or three times a day?
I think you'd be able to form your own road district.
The only thing is, who's going to enforce it?
Well, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't, but if you form your own road district with all the properties that are along there and had, you know, a vote of those that's is setting a speed limit, then...
I'm thinking if we do it, I would imagine the other ones are going to follow suit. Although their roads aren't nearly as well maintained as ours. You can't go very fast on theirs. But
yeah.
I just wonder if we'd get in trouble if we put up our...
See him on the South County tag.
You can, since those are private roads in there,
yeah,
you can put up a speed limit, but you can't post it any lower than 25, because 25 is what the state of Oregon says is the correct speed limit in a residential zone. You can put signs up if you want. They're absolutely not enforceable. You can't enforce them at all. If somebody wants to go 80 miles an hour, you can call a sheriff. Whether he'll show up or not is another story.
Can we put in our own speed bumps?
No. I don't know.
No.
I don't know if you can do that or not.
If it's a private road, why not?
I don't know.
I mean, just take a backhoe and cut across the road. I mean, it slows it down real fast.
Do
yeah.
Or not.
Be going out picking up axles out of there or something, but you know, that'd be easier to deal with. It's just very irritating for the rest of us that live there.
If you went to that South County, you'd get a lot of information from the other private
I'm sure they just talk about it as well as you guys.
That's the third Wednesday?
What's that?
That's
tomorrow at 1:30 at the ODOT conference room off of First Street.
Thank you.
And I'll get you the number to Deschutes County Road Department, and you can ask them about cutting the speed bumps.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else, meeting members?
Doug and I have some compliments. We would like to thank the city of Lapine and Rick for getting after some of these trashed out abandoned homes and some that aren't abandoned. Rick has been on top of it for one that Doug had to look at every day and one that one of my tenants had to look at every day. And he's also working on the one in your neighborhood on Schedule and Elm, or Cagle and Elm.
Yeah. Okay.
And so he's on top of that too. So
got a couple down there.
Yeah. Well, he's good at it. So we appreciate that, and I really appreciate, and I'm sorry that Third Street Lake is no longer there at the corner.
And the ducks are really upset about that.
They'll just come down to the sewer pond and meet up all their friends.
So I appreciate everything that the city of Lapine has
Post office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rick has really done a good job on cleaning up the residential areas. Yes. He's got a good start on it.
And
he's got a long, long, long...
And there's tons of
he's
them.
He's got a good start on it. He really does.
Anything else for the good of the order? Okay. And motion to adjourn.
I would so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Done deal.